It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome, sports fans. This week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B., coming to you from the ESPN studios, not the Club Cal Neva.
I wish.
Ever since the governor's, he's kind of said this is entertainment, kind of a loose definition.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is entertainment.
Yeah, but as long as we're considered entertainment being on the radio, we have to be in the studio. So, all right, well, our board man just got here and there was a basketball game on, and he does not have his laptop up yet. So I'm going to halt the show until I can see the Celtics.
Come on, Spencer.
And clean it up, Spencer.
And Spencer getting my game up because I do have a big bet on it.
So yes, anyway. It's pretty awesome, though, the link. Spencer goes to give us that accommodation. Like, we can't be, you know, in the sports book looking up at all the TVs, and he somehow gets a, whatever, NBA pass on his computer, yeah. And it's almost like
– I still get distracted.
It's almost like we're right at home. We can be watching the game. And
the only thing you got distracted of, John, is the delivering of 805s and Jameson.
That's right. I mean, this
I do miss that.
It's an epidemic. Not just a pandemic. We gotta get that. We need to get that order.
So, right, what's the radio rules about having alcohol in here? Can we drink in here?
No, you can't. You can't have alcohol present inside the studio.
Who made that rule?
People long before I got here.
What about firearms?
I don't know the exact rule, but I would probably say no on that as well.
All right.
If you have to wonder if it's yes or no,
thanks, Obama.
Probably lean to no.
So, do we have a drink police?
I mean.
So my we question.
We don't have anybody.
So next week you bring your thermal flask full of.
Yeah, I've thought about it.
You got your Gatorade.
I have a Gatorade though.
All right. Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Ken.
We're trying to figure out how to smuggle alcohol in the studio.
I noticed, but I was going to say
not announcing it live on the air would probably be the first step.
Spencer's got his thermal flask full of alcohol. Look at him.
Is that Crown or Jameson?
I was going to say, Ken, you probably could have pulled it off. Now that you announced to the world your intention to bring booze in here, now there's going to be people looking out for it.
Good. Bring it. Let's go.
All right.
Bring it.
All right.
You got a lot of articles out on Sportsline?
Yeah. You know, they said things have picked up, and we mentioned before the show. It's cool. We got some local angles in the mixed martial arts world, one of whom going tonight. So there's plenty of that. Again, more so Bellator tonight, UFC tomorrow. And again, we've got full, of course, NBA playoffs going. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely. John the Hawk Stevens over on his little couch over there.
My little love seat I got going over here.
You love it, don't you?
I do. I do wish we were at the Cal Neva, though. Hopefully we can get that rectified pretty soon. As long as everything else in this town and state, but specifically on a personal note, I want to be at the Cal Neva right now.
Love it, John. Thank you. I appreciate that. Cal Neva book is open, by the way. We just can't have the radio show there. So if you're looking to make deposits in your mobile account, or you want to place some over-the-counter bets or cash out some tickets, the book is open right now. So full service going on right there. Tommy, what's going on?
Just reiterating what John said is, wish we were back at the Neva getting some cocktails and beverages and just enjoying that place. So,
you're going to World Softball Tournament next week?
I am riding the coattails of a little team from here.
Tommy, did you go last year?
I did not go last year. I went 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
And struck out swinging. I know where you're going with this, my friend.
Were they throwing underhand in Minnesota? Or?
They were actually, if you weren't there, they were throwing overhand and throwing gas.
Was it a night game?
It was day game. There was too many mosquitoes out. Sun was in my eyes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but they do it underhanded.
Yes.
How close were you to hitting it, though?
I don't even remember. I closed my eyes, John.
That's a good idea.
Wow. They actually battleborn. Brian Williford, his team went down to Utah last week and won Western World. Went 8-0.
50 and over.
Three years in a row now, I think, for them.
Good for
them. I think four.
Good for them. All right. Josh, you talked about it a little bit. We do have a UFC card tonight, Bellator 224, and a local flavor. You know, Ryan Bader and he's fighting a guy named Vadim Nemkov. Is that how you say it, Josh? Did I say that right?
Close Nemkov? Enough. Like, I couldn't, tell you the correct pronunciation, but unfortunately, Vadim Nemkov. I mean, sort of the culturally. But, honestly, I haven't seen the guy fight, so I couldn't tell you much. In fact, I got to where Bellator, I stopped paying attention a little bit because we used to do, articles or whatnot on both. But Bellator's roster was, they were trying to make a move a couple years ago. And they still have some former UFC guys. But by and large, their roster's sort of gone down in quality to where it's like by and large, I don't really pay attention to it. Except, of course, one of the best fighters still left, along with a guy named Michael Chandler, who might sign with the UFC. Bader's probably the best-known guy. And there was a time, Ken, I'm sure you're aware, he used to be in the UFC for a while. And I remember remember he and Daniel Cormier, you know, started a bit of a rivalry when Cormier was light heavyweight, and that was Bader's thing. He was trying to get it, it just never happened, unfortunately. Would have been a great fight. He was the one egging on Cormier. Was like, yeah, sure. But I think at the time Cormier was chasing the fight with John Jones. It was that type of thing. But he always you always thought that one might work out. It didn't, and eventually I think just because of that, like, Bader's not going to break through against John Jones. He eventually went to Bellator, and I guess depending on who you are, I mean, it's said that they can, in some instances, pay a lot more than UFC. So that's where he's at now, but he's been the light heavyweight champion there for a day. I mean, there's nobody – he's clearly the class of that organization, but we'll see. Obviously, Ken, the oddsmakers feel like this guy's got a shot, though. It's not even, you know, $2 line.
Yeah, Ryan Bader is a minus 116 today with the total rounds at 2.5 and the over minus 150. Don't know a whole lot. I pulled it up right now, and I can't even on it. I'm looking at ESPN, the fight card. They don't even have a whole lot of stuff. Bader's 27-5. This other kid, Nemkov, is 11-2. I don't know. How old, JD, you know the Bader, his brother, correct?
Yeah. Long time ago, the McQueen boys. Yes. What's the question?
No, I was just curious. Oh. I was kind of curious. How old is Ryan? I mean, what would you guess?
That's what I was saying. Or mid to late 30s, I believe.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to guess 35, yeah. I believe. But
all right. And exciting. And the other known name on this card, too, is Roy Nelson, Josh. He's fighting a guy. He's 23-18, and he's fighting a guy named Valentin Milovsky.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. You know what's funny, Ken? Here's another funny story about Roy Nelson, who's also a former UFC guy. You know how he got basically kicked out of the UFC? I just think this kind of
knocked
funny
out too much.
No, he touched a ref. Well, you know my feeling, like John McCarthy, who I actually think is terrible, even though he's credited as being this officiating genius. But he would talk about stopping fights. You know, sooner or later, he would basically wait till the guy's in a coma to call it off. The very last fight of Roy Nelson's UFC career was a main event against a guy who Antonio Silva. So both of them kind of over the hill, but Silva like used to be a contender, but Nelson was a big favorite because he was more current at the time. And so basically, Ken, he landed like it was a boring fight for a couple rounds, but like toward the end of the second, boom, lands like just a haymaker, and he knows it's like, you know, he's a walk-off guy like Mark Hunt. So much power that the guy's just out. But he lands, he collapsed to the ground, smacks his head on the canvas, and Nelson just walks away. And McCarthy just stands there and looks like, hey, you know, the fight still go. Ken, there was such a gap in time that you could see Nelson look back at him like, you've got to be kidding. You're really going to make me do this.
You want me to jump on him and hit him?
He forces him to go down and hit him like 4 or 5 more times. Nelson's furious because apparently he's really friendly with his opponent, you know, outside the cage. So he finally calls it off. Nelson's screaming at him, yelling. I mean, he's being physically restrained by his own corner and whatnot. Finally, you know, they let him go. But before the decision's announced, he runs up behind McCarthy and actually kicks him in the rear end. And that was the last – look it up online. It was the last time he ever –
That's awesome.
And I'm not a big Roy Nelson fan, but I was that night. Yeah, and then the press conference, of course, basically revolved around that. And if you ever want to watch the Roy Nelson press conference with his commentary on John McCarthy, you'll see why – Yeah, I think
that he's not in the UFC.
Yeah, he's dead on, though, about why I think McCarthy's a horrible ref for just that reason. That was the judgment call that I'll just never understand, but he's got lots of those in his, you know, history.
Wow, that's crazy. He's a huge dog today, too, plus $6 on Nelson. This Medlovsky is minus $9. 2.5 is the round total on that with minus 155 on the over. You know, I'd probably, you know, if you got this, this is a little angle. Maybe you guys help me out with this. The over is minus 155, and it's 2.5. This guy's a $9 favorite. Roy Nelson's a knockout guy. Why? I mean, don't we take a shot on the under in this fight? I mean, get a nice little price, guys?
You would think.
A little juicy under?
Yeah, and I don't know why, you know, with guys that big, why, you know, the price would be that reasonable.
Spence, you got any input on this card at all? I know you're kind of a closet resident UFC expert, but maybe you'll have something on the next card. But you know not necessarily the Frankie Edgar fight.
One thing, coincidentally, by the way, what's his name? John McCarthy is now a commentator for Bellator, so it'd be funny tonight when Roy Nelson's going to see if he mentions, you know, their little exchange there, and basically Nelson.
Say it again.
I said it'd be funny to see if on the broadcast tonight if John McCarthy, you know, mentions what happened with Ryan Nelson and how basically he's commentating Nelson and Bellator, and he's the reason Nelson's in Bellator. Wow. I mean, it's kind of funny, or he contributed to it. Spencer, do you know the fight I'm talking about?
I don't know the fight, but I know the moment.
Okay,
I've seen the moment where he kicks McCarthy.
Right,
I didn't see the
right.
Fight,
you've seen what happened.
I've seen the moment. Yeah,
they should just get it on. In the words of the great Mills Lane, let's get it on. Three. So Nick Bogdanovich, the trader for William Hill, he booked four of these fights. Bader at -116. That's by far the shortest favorite. You know, we have a Julia Budd versus Jessica. How'd you say her? Mealy, Josh.
Right, right. Julia, and for what Budd's, it's worth, she's been their champion for a day and a half.
Who's
so
that?
She's Budd. She's been one of their, you know, title holders. So
she's -$9. -$9.
And you have to take a stab the other way with that.
What?
When it's that
exactly. Parlay the two, right. $6. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not just? I'm doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna bet.
That was a lot of convincing, Kenny.
And then they got John Slater versus Andrew Capel. He's -$4. He's -$4, and Capel's +$3. So I'm gonna take a. I'm doing it right now. You guys carry the show for a second. I'm gonna fire. You know what I'm gonna do right now, Josh? I'm gonna
fire up that app.
My William Hill mobile right. app, and I'm gonna make a wager. So go for it. You guys keep talking. Josh,
so,
take the lead.
Great. So that was our Bellator card, which is tonight. Look for it. I want to say it's still free. I believe Spike TV or one of those funky cable channels.
Good.
Yeah, I believe it's Spike.
But
look around. You'll find – what's funny, John, is it's live everywhere except on the West Coast. It's usually done back east. So it's always live there.
Let me interrupt real quick.
We have
Bader, from the time that we looked at this 10 minutes before –
I know.
Plus – -180.
I know. It's gone up.
When we looked at this 15 minutes ago, he was -116.
Right. Wow. So the money's clearly coming in. I wonder if this, you know, region, Northern Nevada, has anything to do with that, or if people are just finding value and hammering in with the bets. But anyhow, so outside of that, tomorrow night there's also a regular UFC card. We saw
– No, that can't be right.
UFC 252 was last weekend, and tomorrow night's one of the free cards. And then the main event is Pedro Munhoz against Edgar. And those are bantamweights. Frankie Edgar's making his debut – at bantamweight, Munhoz is #5 rated in the division. Sort of interesting because Edgar is like...
This is the biggest, shortest payout, or shortest bet, biggest payout I've ever made.
For two-team parlay at +6?
No, I made a four-team parlay. Okay. I took all the dogs. Dog. +160, +$3, +$6, +$6. Guess how much $25 pays?
Oh, I'd have to do the math again.
No, just stab.
I can't. $25. Give me the prices again, please.
+6, mm-hmm. +6, 3, and +160.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with $5,200.
$12,740.
Yeah, more than I expected.
I was $9,000 off. I was thinking $3,000.
I'm going to post it on our Facebook page. I just bet a $25 four-teamer just for fun. I took all the dogs on this Bellator card, and it $25 pays me $12,740. Bam. I'm taking the picture and posting it right now. Go ahead, Josh.
Cool. So,
cool.
Yeah, I was talking about tomorrow night's main event.
Cool.
Got a little off track. But if you guys are aware, Frankie Edgar is considered like a living legend, whatever. He's like, Anderson Silva level icon. But he's also a guy who I think is sort of sad. I mean, needs
is
to
he
hang
coming
him
up weight or down?
No,
weight?
Down. See, that's the deadly combination. You're getting older and dropping weight. It's a bad idea. He's almost 40. The thing is, he just can't compete anymore. I mean, lightweight, he's getting beat by all the top guys. He moves down featherweight, getting beat. So now think about it, John. Lightweight is 155 pounds. This, what he's doing tomorrow, is 135.
Oh,
so
goodness.
He's going down 20 full pounds. He's, like I said, it's harder. We all know, try losing weight when you're 40. I mean, it obviously he's a world-class athlete, but it gets even harder for them, too. And I just can't imagine. This is just not a good idea, though. But he's been getting knocked out, one of those things kind of early and often. He's not looking as bad as someone like, you know, Luke Rockhold or whatever. But it still looks pretty bad. He hasn't been competitive in a while. So here's the thing. So now he's dropping to face a guy who fights naturally at that weight and also is a knockout artist. I mean, so you can see why. Munhoz is a pretty big favorite. They give Edgar some respect, but it's Munhoz -250 and Edgar +210. And he got knocked out in like the first basically minute of his last fight. I wouldn't be surprised to see it again.
I just posted the ticket on our Facebook page. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Like this show at our Facebook page. If you got something you want to ask or comment or post, you know, you're more than welcome to do that. But a little $25 four-teamer. I've spent $25 on a lot worse, but I've never spent a $25 on a four-teamer that pays 12 G's.
Yeah, and Ken, it's funny because we're talking about...
It could happen.
I was going to say, it seems like, oh, yeah, you're just... You know,
look at all you guys going to be on the sidelines.
Flush your money down the toilet or whatever. But we talked about the NBA one a couple of weeks ago where every dog hit, starting with the Nets, remember? Nets against the Bucks plus
some of them were double-digit dogs.
15 to 1.
And then every other dog, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
oh,
every other
true.
Dog
that was,
hit.
The Nets versus
Bucks.
The Bucks. That's exactly right. And they just didn't squeak over the finish line. They buried them.
They buried them.
So yeah, that was a way to start off your parlay. Plus $15, and then all the other ones were like 4 or 5 point, you know, nice little $2 dogs. So that was, we talked about that on the air. Like, geez, you just been thinking about it. So there you are. You're the one thinking about it. So seriously, all the Bellator underdogs hit, and you will have. I'm gonna do it during the break for at least 10.
I mean, you have to,
of course.
You know how
I'm not gonna be on the sidelines when that hits tonight, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it. That's what we did. We were trading UFC.
I'm gonna bet all the favorites on a parlay
the other week or whatever. And that's why you said
I should back it up. As a matter of fact, I'm going to back it up right now.
Well, you're bound to lose a little juice there with the all chalk parlay.
All right, so how much time you got?
Yeah, but I get a gloat.
Okay, yeah.
Does the all chalk one even pay even money? I bet you
no
it doesn't.
Way.
Plus
no.
Four,
no way.
Plus nine, plus it, yeah, it will because Bader.
Because he's cheap. Because he's cheap enough.
Yeah, I think
I agree.
It's a 180.
I agree. No, he's cheap barely enough to bring down the others, but I don't know.
Oh, no, it's going to play plus 140.
Oh, there you go. Score. I'm in.
So, on the other side, if I bet all the favorites, my $25, I get back $60.
I bet the favorites go 3-1.
$60.
Exactly. That's going to be the popular bet. And watch, both sides are going to end up out of there.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'll post this one on our Facebook page, too. A $25 14 with just all the favorites. We're talking about the Bellator main card tonight. Nick Bogdanovich, the head trader for William Hill, there's seven fights. Seven fights on the card, but he only put lines up for four. So I'm going to post this on our Facebook page. Let's head off to our first commercial break. We'll be back after these messages to talk sports on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with John the Hawk Stevens, Tommy Thompson, and Josh Nagle from Sportsline. I got a text on the break from Joe Robinson. I told him, Big Joe. You got anything nice to say about Joe?
I love Joe. As much stuff as I give him, I love him.
I love Joe and what he does for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a good man. He's got horrible taste in hockey teams and college football teams.
Yeah,
and universities in general. Yeah, but
take that, Joe Rob.
Yeah, but other than that, I love that man. Yeah,
RPD, love you guys, everything that you guys do. Pro Blue.
Who won,
Joe,
the cornhole tournament?
Huh?
Who won the cornhole tournament?
Joe's sister's boyfriend won the cornhole tournament. I lost in the first round, worked my way all the way back up and took third. I lost to the guy that took first and second, lost by 1 point to both of them. I will say this, Joe, since you're listening, you put on a great tournament. And he got to really pay attention to the tournament because he was the first one out in his own backyard.
That a way.
So take that, Joe. Thanks for tuning in, bud. So you going? Let me know if you're going to the lake this weekend, Joe, or maybe we'll watch UFC at your house again tomorrow night. So, all right, Frankie Edgar tomorrow versus Pedro Munhoz. Josh, go.
Okay. So, like I mentioned, Edgar, you know, sort of at the end of the line, I don't like him doing this. Hopefully we won't have to see this forever. I actually kind of wish Dana White would stop allowing these guys to – you know, this farewell tour, BJ Penn, these guys who are, you know, icons of the game and Hall of Famers, just, you know, getting exposed, obviously, more than anything, for their health. I think the fighters are obviously doing it for a paycheck. I think Frankie Edgar's been doing this for 20 years. He's never known, you know, anything else, and I get that. But again, I said the guy's pushing 40. He's already shown signs of not being real competitive. Munhoz has knocked out some guys who are, you know, real legit in the division. So the price, Ken, shows kind of a mismatch with. Yeah, the co-main might be all right. That one's Ovince St. Preux and light heavyweights. It's St. Preux, and I want to say who's his opponent?
Alonzo
Menifield. Yes,
actually, St. Preux is a dog. Menifield's minus 125.
Right. Yeah, so that's a tight line. And here's the thing: St. Preux's been in there with John Jones. He's fought for the championship before, and it was reasonably competitive actually. But that was sort of the start of Jones tailing off. And he moved up to heavyweight for his last fight. Actually, he gave a pretty good fight against Ben Rothwell that was real close. And then, obviously, he's going back down because he's at light. He's at 205 tomorrow. So the co-main should be pretty entertaining. I don't have any real feeling on the main event other than, you know, I wouldn't want to lay the price on Munhoz, but I don't see a lot of value on Edgar either.
We always get our UFC. We have a group of people that throw their picks into a hat and see what matches and stuff like that. And we usually get these a little bit closer to fight time, so I'll probably get some UFC information and post it on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicap. And Spencer, do you like anything? I mean, I know that you're the UFC guy. I don't know if you like.
I'm more just a casual UFC fan, so I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see how Frankie Edgar does do. I mean, to Josh's point, dropping down as you get older is as close to crazy as you can get. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I liked Frankie Edgar. I thought his fights with Gray Maynard were incredibly entertaining.
Well, yeah, he's been in some classics. Classic, yeah, I mean, two-fight thing with Benson Henderson.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true, but it's just one of those things. Not only Spencer has he been through so many battles, I mean, like I said, he started real young and all these battles and age, and it's just you know what I mean? I mean, Peyton Manning couldn't play in the NFL after age 38. Just your body falls apart. Even Cormier at 41, that's as rare as you'll find. You know, even by MMA standards, that's kind of old. So, it's, you know, especially the lower weight guys too, where the fights are, you know, less inclined to end very quickly. Right, you're likely to take more of a sustained beating because of the lower power. I mean, the guy just needs to call it a day, and hopefully UFC can start doing whatever, some sort of way to take care of these guys when they're done.
Going back to the Cormier fight real quick. We actually watched it at Joe Robinson's house last weekend, and I didn't like the decision. Once again, I don't think that he lost 4-1. I think it should have been 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. And I mean, even he kind of was.
Yeah.
He's such a class act, such a gentleman that you could tell he was. I don't know if disrespected is the word at the end.
Right.
But I mean, for one judge to have it, what, 10, 20, 30, 40, 49, 46?
Yeah, can I? Mean, I totally agree. What? And here's the funny thing. I thought the. You know,
I mean, I had Orlovsky, not Orlovsky.
Stipe Miocic.
Stipe. I had Stipe an over, so I won the bet.
Right.
But I wasn't 100% confident when they got to the card that I was going to win the bet.
Exactly.
I mean, I was like, you know, I've seen some weird things in the UFC.
Totally. Ken, put it this way. You're right. There's no sure things. And you're both one of those things. Both of them put their hands up in the air. And I thought Cormier was more, you know, hopeful than anything, wishful thinking. And I think he suspected he lost. But I'll put it this way. But you're right. There's no sure things. And even though Miocic was the real champion there, but Cormier is going to get that champion's respect in the scoring. They're not just going to instantly give the close rounds to Miocic. And here's the thing, Ken, because there's always ways you can categorize. We've gone over like the John Jones, Dominic Reyes things where we sort of go through the rounds and see which ones were clear. And here's why I think there's just was a little bit of mystery with the decision. I thought Miocic, like you said, probably 3-2. But here's the thing. Cormier won round one again. That pretty much nobody questions that. I thought for sure Miocic won 2 and 3. All right, that's pretty ironclad. But then you get 4 and 5, and here's what's funny. So both of them are a toss-up. 4 and 5 were both really close. So you're thinking if they're just really close, and you get both of them to Cormier, he wins. Obviously, you know, Miocic has that advantage. Now, he just needs one of the two. He's up 2-1, and it's easy to find one for him. But I went back and rewatched it, saw the analytics and all that. But it was also pretty clear that Cormier kind of, I mean, based on the powerful strikes and everything, he won 4. Miocic dominated the stats, and I thought he won 5 anyway, with the cage control. So there you go, 3-2. So how they find 4-1, that tells you all those two judges gave Miocic a sweep after round one. And that is pretty disrespectful to Cormier.
And I could tell his displeasure, but he bit his tongue. He didn't. I mean, he's obviously got a great future in announcing for the UFC. You know, obviously,
sure,
I love
the best. He's the best that there's ever been.
I agree with that too, and I think that he made the right decision to get out of the game. And
no, I agree.
But I felt like he just needed to get a little bit more respect going out. That's
totally. But that's the thing with Cormier hanging on that long. Anyway, remember when he upset Miocic? The whole thing was he was going to have like one more fight. He basically wanted to fight Brock Lesnar and or Miocic rematch. He had said he was going to be retired like by his 40th birthday or shortly thereafter. Yeah. So he's like, 41 and a half now. So he stayed around. And it's one of those things, even though the heavyweights sometimes in age can hang out, you know, a little longer, Fabricio Verdum, especially if you're good at jiu-jitsu and haven't taken much of a beating. But it's just sad. You know, I wanted to see him go out with the glory like I know he wanted, and it's just too bad. But, yeah, obviously hanging him up now is the right thing, because one thing he said leading up to the fight, which makes a lot of sense, he's like, I'm not going to be that guy. He goes, I'm not going to be Frank Edgar. I'm not going to be the guy who was a legend, and I see me just getting beat up every 3 months. Good for him.
Yeah. He even said that, you know, it's harder and harder every day to get out of bed. You know, it's just tough to get up and take the punishment. To have to get up and get motivated every day to get your leg work in and your endurance, and then get on the mat and wrestle and come up with a fight plan, and you know, it takes a lot out of these guys. Tommy?
Yeah, it was a good fight. I think he definitely looked gassed, you know, the last round and a half for sure. But Josh sent me that YouTube video. We should probably post it on the Facebook page, just because it's a long video. It's what, 45 minutes or something like that. But I had already bet Stipe and the over earlier, but I text Josh. I'm like, it really makes me want to just lean towards betting on DC just because his story and just what a class act he is. And
but Tommy, don't you believe you've never seen anything like that press conference? I mean, just not only just the dignity, that's one thing that he has.
Dignity,
but,
great word.
But in the class that he showed everybody, including his opponent, but I also thought it was fascinating. So many little levels. It was very inspiring just based on what a motivational type story he has and the guy he is. But Tommy, I thought it was hilarious that he told Miocic exactly what he's going to do. He's like, no, but then I'm going to take you down. He goes, but yeah. I don't want to wrestle too much because that could wear me out. He's like, so I'm going to mix it up. What do you see any sporting event? I mean, he tells him exactly what he's going to do. And what's funny is Miocic didn't tell him anything. He didn't say like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to throw the short right when you expose yourself. He didn't give his game plan, but Cormier just for like 10 minutes straight. Tells him, he's like, yeah, last time you got me with the body shots. Guess what? I'm adjusting. And yeah, that was hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious as well. And it just shows the guy he is. And that's the determination and everything when he went into training is he tried to learn from his mistakes from the previous two fights. And it just didn't translate over to a victory, but still such a class act. And I mean, I can't think of anybody in the UFC right now that can compare to him in terms of that stature of just the great ambassador for the sport.
Exactly. And for what it's worth, two division champion, of which there's only four all time. I mean, the guy's credentials speak for themselves. Back in the day, he beat a lot of the even heavyweight legends. He beat guys like Frank Mir. People don't realize he started for his first 13 fights at heavyweight, went down to light heavyweight just because he could. And what so about two division champion, and he only lost. So his whole career can only lost to two guys. John Jones, the greatest light heavyweight champion ever, and now, by extension, Stipe, the best heavyweight champion. So no shame in that, but I still wish he'd won.
What about Sean O'Malley versus Marlon Vera?
Type train derailed. Nice.
Vera didn't, everybody's talking about, what did he do, dislocate his knee, or what did he do?
Yeah, it was a calf kick, whatever.
He was going in and he tripped himself on the mat.
Hmm.
You didn't see it?
But they're saying there's no structural damage now.
Well, he definitely
did
was
something because it looked like it when they showed.
Yeah, and I thought it was
too.
A kick that caused that.
No,
pain
it was
to
he actually went into he was coming in or he was backing up and Vera backed up and then he went to go forward and he got his feet caught in the on the surface. Oh, yeah. And that's when he hurt his Spence, was it ankle knee?
They said
did
it was
hear?
A sprained ankle.
Yeah, I think it was he had twisted his ankle, I think, during the fight. And then that
which
was
made him immobile.
Yeah, that was the report, was that he twisted his ankle sometime during the fight.
Yeah, and he is so flamboyant, O'Malley, that in the press conference, Vera didn't give him any credit. He goes, no, I made him do it. I made him sprain his ankle.
Well, he did. Here's the thing, though. The majority of it was like that. First of all, Ken, it's funny because they sense, believe me, O'Malley's losing credit, street cred by the second here because, they wheeled him out on a stretcher.
Yeah,
which something
like a soccer
rarely
player.
Say unless the guy is.
I thought he was actually going to get up and come back and
you
fight.
You never see, Ken, you see guys, broken legs or whatever, just hot. On the the shoulders of their corner men and whatever.
Walk
and so,
out.
I'll just put it this way. That's pretty much the creed for these UFC fighters, Ken. But believe me, I've seen him getting bashed on Twitter and everywhere else because the fact that a stretcher, if you're going to, you better not be able to walk if you're going to do that. Yeah. But now that they've said, the news, all the reports, no damage at all. It was basically just a sprained ankle. Believe me, people are going in on him hard. Like, you're no warrior. If you had to take a stretcher for a sprained ankle. And it's worth noting, Ken, a few fights ago, O'Malley did the same thing against a guy who's not any good and is not even in the UFC anymore, where he twisted his ankle or whatever, and he laid on the mat on his back for the last minute of the third round, claiming he couldn't move and, he got all this praise or whatnot. And here's the thing with O'Malley. He may end up being decent, but
he's 12-1 now. He was undefeated.
If he
in this fight, Josh, I think he was a $9 favorite.
No, it wasn't that high.
It was high.
Oh, you're right. But I know because I bet Marlon Vera was plus 270. So O'Malley
did you have
him
on a straight bet?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, and O'Malley was minus 350.
I'm going to give you props.
I'm not.
Good for you.
Cool.
You had Vera.
I'm not. Yeah. It was a stab in the dark.
And but no, I knew he was. Listen, Vera's. No, here's the difference. They've fought. Vera had won 7 of 8, with the one loss being actually a real disputed decision. If you look at him, he's a guy who's coming up, kind of like a second coming, like Jorge Masvidal. Like, he had some losses early, but now he's figuring it out. And Vera is in the rankings. I just put it this way: the wrong guy was favored. I mean, it's clear they bought in the odds makers into O'Malley's hype. Vera's fought world class guys and won, and. I'm just not a fan. O'Malley hasn't given him any credit for getting the job done. And his whole thing.
So,
a little pizzazz and all that's fine. But look, even right down to the chest tattoo, the guy flat out basically admits he wants to be Conor McGregor. It's sort of hard to respect that. Be yourself.
So, They're going to fight again, right? O'Malley, Vera. They'll fight again.
Here's the thing, Ken. Well, here's what the talk is that O'Malley will essentially have to earn it because he showed he's not on Vera's level. So what they're talking about is maybe O'Malley a couple more fights where, obviously, if he makes it through. But Vera's going to keep moving up the rankings. But now that there is a little bad blood there, yeah, if he proves, like basically, if O'Malley gets on the upward trend again, they could rematch him.
Sad day for Junior Del Santos. Loved his career. He finishes his career. Hopefully, he retires 21-8 because he took a beating.
Well, I told you, and that's been the story of – that's what I wondered, Ken, because he's been – it's gotten to the type where his jaw's clearly gone, and I agree he needs to retire. But it was hard to figure out going into the last one because even though he'd been knocked out quickly in the previous two, it was by the two hardest hitters in the sport. So it's like, okay, was it that or his chin's gone? You got your answer because Rosenstrike hits hard too. But for heavyweights, hey, that's the deal. If you're going to – as soon as you're touched, you're out of there. I mean, he needs to hang him up.
All right. UFC tonight, UFC tomorrow. Ryan, oh, we forgot Paige VanZant. We forgot once again. I almost brought this up last week. It was in my notes, and I forgot about this. Another local fighter. She's in the news. Paige VanZant.
Right. So again, well, as you mentioned, the UFC. I guess it was one of those mutual way partners, but they didn't offer another contract. She had said before her last fight, in which she got submitted pretty quickly by Amanda Ribas, that, if she wins this, whatever.
Pretty quickly?
Well, it was like a minute something, right? Maybe.
Did she last a bit?
I think it was less than a minute.
But regardless, we saw what happened. And
love Paige.
And she also thought there might be a chance the UFC would re-offer her regardless. I guess her feelings were hurt. Yeah, she's been out there criticizing him, saying, wow, she thought Dana White would give her more respect. And anyone who expects that Dana White obviously doesn't know him too well. I mean, she's worked under the guy for 4 or 5 years, but if you expect the respect that you're due to be shown by him, it doesn't really happen unless you're Connor or John Jones. But so she was wondering what was going to happen. Apparently, she had said she was going to explore free agency to begin with, but she had no leverage. So Dana White's like, yeah, well, why don't you go ahead and do that? It was very speculated. It makes sense. Bellator, because her husband, right? Her husband fights in Bellator, so it'd be like this pairing of, whatever, married people. And then, out of the blue, it wasn't long at all, too. So parting ways with UFC, a few days later, she pops up and signed with the bare knuckle fighting championship.
You heard that correct. And she's fighting bare knuckles.
Ken, the incentive there would be financial. I mean, I heard for just at least the article I read said they literally offer she couldn't refuse, like 7 figures type of thing. I was like,
really?
Yeah. So maybe that's the appeal. Whatever they see her as like a celebrity.
Wow. They can offer Paige VanZant. She didn't even come close to make it. I'll bet you she didn't make that in her entire UFC career.
Not really, because, she made endorsements and everything else. So that was where she got the bulk of her money. But, Ken, on her very last fight, I thought it was interesting, too, because, I saw her, I saw the pay structures or whatever. And I think her actual pay for that fight was like 23 and 23. 23,000 to show up and 23 more if she won.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's minimum wage.
That's my point.
UFC,
and now
basically.
She's fighting a bare knuckle in the bare knuckles
right.
for $1 million.
I could be wrong about that high of a salary, but put it this way. I think at least the story said it was by far a record for the bare knuckles. Like they said they were paying her triple what anyone had gotten.
They're going to make her the poster girl.
That's what they're trying to do. Right. Because a bare knuckle fighting could change that.
Yeah, no, she's tough. Absolutely, she's tough.
Yeah.
She just had a bad night the other night. So, all right, let's head off to the next commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into basketball and hockey and baseball and a lot of other sports on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B., Tommy Thompson, John Hawk Stevens, Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can like the show at Kenny B., ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook. Always interested to see what everybody says. Oh, they just hit a three. Dadgummit, I thought the Sixers just hit a three. 81-78, Boston over the 76ers, about 8:44 left in the fourth. Raptors played the Nets a little bit earlier today, 117-92. Raptors taking a three-game-to-zero lead in that series. The game before that, the Jazz and the Nuggets. Nuggets only scored 87 points in this game. That's just terrible. Jazz 124-87 winner, and Utah leads the series 2-1 there. And a little bit later tonight, the Clippers and the Mavericks. Clippers laying points again, 5-231. I'm kind of embarrassed to say this a little bit because I haven't watched a whole lot of basketball NBA recently, but Luka Doncic, you guys know that. He's good.
He's
really good.
He's unbelievable.
How old is he?
He just turned 21.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought I heard that.
Generational talent.
Oh, yeah.
He's not, he really is. He's something else. And, you know, there's a lot of Kings fans in this area, and they passed him up. Vlade passed him up for Marvin Bagley, which was not a great decision. But yeah, Luka's he's a great player. He seems like a good kid, good dude. That's a good team. They're gonna be good for a while. Tonight, I like the Clippers in that game. I think the Clippers show up big time, especially Paul George. Paul George needs to bounce back right here. You know, this is the time when Kawhi shines.
That's the way it's supposed to happen.
That's the way it's supposed to happen. You think, you know, the way your mind works, that they're going back to Dallas. They're not. They're still in the same bubble, just with a different logo on the floor. But I expect the Clippers to come out and win this game handily tonight. That's the way I'm feeling.
But all the piped-in music will be pro-Maverick music.
It's true.
When the Clippers are shooting free throws, they're going to be...
Is Mark Cuban there?
I'm sure he is. Come on. Of course he is.
Or is he on the screen?
Josh? Oh, what's the line? I just pulled it up. 5.5.
5.5.
5.5, 231. 5.5, 231.
I think it's tough to say, Ken, because you know, I anticipated Dallas would be a tough matchup for him. And it's just weird. They've got the top scoring offense in the NBA, so you know it's going to be tough for anybody. The Clippers have obviously guys who are capable of defending when they want. Of course, you know, Kawhi and Paul George can defend too. But yeah, we mentioned, I think they're a little bit ahead of schedule. That trade for Porzingis worked out better than they could possibly imagine. It's funny because it's clear they're going the two-star route, right? The two cornerstone guys, right? And I think Porzingis is still only what? He's not even 25. 23, I believe.
And not to cut you off, Josh, but the first game when he got ejected, that was just
right. Yeah, as I said, that threw him off.
It was horrible.
So they've proven when they're full, full strength, it might be 2-0.
The way he
Mavs.
Played the other night, he was a man on a mission.
Yeah, he was playing well in game one.
When you see Porzingis
too,
with that look in his eye, that's deadly. And if he plays like that again, then you could see the Mavericks win in this game. I think the Clippers need to rebound right here. They're clearly the better team.
But they so with those two guys though, I wonder why would they even be able to put enough around them? Though, you know, felt like they're completely selling out to get those two franchise stars. But it did work out because
what's he reading there?
He's 25 years old.
Okay, 20. Who is? Sorry, I couldn't read that. I appreciate it, but the tiny Wikipedia numbers say.
I tried to zoom in.
Gotcha. But nonetheless, so 25, 21. So obviously, both guys could play, you know, essentially 15 more years possibly for them. Yeah. But my point is, you realize, you know, the way they won that trade even more so is do they have anyone around them? I think the role guys have been better than expected. Sure. In hindsight, it was huge. If they got Tim Hardaway Jr. in the hall, but guys you hadn't heard of, like Maxi Kleber and
Boban.
Right, and Dorian Finney-Smith. But you realize. And here's the thing, on any given night, those guys are usually going to be consistent. The Mavs usually need like one third guy to have a good game. And if they do, they're in good shape. And most of the time, they get one. It's the harder way. All those guys are capable of big nights.
Yeah.
Bucks Magic tomorrow. Who do you guys like? So I know, John, I agree with what you're saying. This looks like it's supposed to be a Clippers bounce back game. I absolutely agree. But man,
Mavericks are good. I'm not taking anything away from the Mavericks. I just think the Clippers are one of the two or three teams that can contend for the whole thing here.
They just looked so bad last game, though. Yeah.
Exactly my thinking.
They just looked so bad. I can see that.
Now, what I feel curious, too, is like, let's think about how, you know, the novelty of this NBA postseason. We'll likely never see this again, but I do think it's fascinating, right? Because if it was seven-game series, whatever, tonight would be the first one in Dallas. They'd have been thrilled with a split, probably even more, you know, possibly prone to an upset, you know, falling behind 2-1 in the series. And to me, it's just fascinating, though, like, given with no home court edge. It's like, so the inferior on paper team, Dallas, having it tied up. To me, that's still huge because, right, there's just neither team can rely on, we just get us back home, you know, crowd will push us through. Right. It's going to be the same spread every time. And so that's why I find more fascinating. It's like the X's and O's have never mattered more. Like, who can adjust to the matchups, John, but also who has – I love the test of, you know, mental toughness, too.
It is interesting. It's got a March Madness feel to it.
Totally.
And – the way I look at this game is kind of the way I looked at the Lakers game last night against the Blazers to bounce back
for the Lakers.
You know, they're triple teaming
themselves. Totally,
Dame couldn't get anything off, and it was, you know, it was something else. If the Clippers do that, and Doc Rivers is a good enough coach that he can make an adjustment like that, take Luka away, make Porzingis beat him. That's what I would do.
Take one of them away. At least.
Luka. That's the guy.
I guess
guy.
He's the facilitator.
He's exactly.
He's running the show.
Exactly. So I really look at a Clippers bounce back here.
I really thought they'd do that in game two, though. I mean, he's still in game two, 24, almost a triple.
But before Porzingis got throw it out. The Mavericks had a great chance to win game one.
That's what Josh said.
That was a bad beat, too. I took 6.5 points, and that was terrible because, they were missing shots, whatever. But even on the last play, Leonard gets the rebound, and the Mavs backed off. Like, they weren't going to do anything. There's 15 seconds just let it go. Did you see what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kawhi then chooses. He just runs himself into the corner. It was one or the other. You're either going to call out of bounds or. Yeah, they bail him out with the foul. Yeah. Of course, he hits a ball. And Dallas still had a couple open threes, and I mean, come on, +6.5,
so
that's a pretty bad beat.
It's so frustrating.
Covering the whole way until that happened.
For sure, the Mavericks just absolutely disappeared once that happened. And
but, John, it shows
Markieff
you, though.
Morris doing what he does and getting your start.
It shows you how just reliant they are on those two guys. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
An injury or foul or ejection in one of those two. Because that was Luka had like 42, right?
Yeah.
But they scored nothing in the second half because nobody else could do anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
So going back to the Mavericks Clippers game, I think are you guys on the different sides of the coin. You think that
the
Clippers are going to come up and show
the Clippers,
and you think
I like
you,
it
you see
Dallas,
no reason not
I
to back Dallas.
I think Dallas could do it. Yeah. I think Dallas could go up 2-1 and put the Clippers in pretty big trouble right there.
I like it over 231.
231 over, and taking the +5.5.
231. So you like the dogging over.
Yes,
sir. Dogging over. John, what about total?
Over.
You know, looking at these games too, every game
over.
It seemed like in the bubble, in the preseason or regular season, I guess, everything was flying over. But now you're seeing these teams: Raptors 117-92 under, Jazz 124-87 under, Sixers 85-81 right now with 6 minutes left in the fourth. It looks like it's going to go under too. I mean, is this a trend, or is it the things?
Well,
get
the stakes are up.
Well, I agree, but where I'm headed with this, John, is have the totals been inflated because of the regular season,
yeah,
and there might be some take back value on betting unders.
I think that's a good point. Yeah, I do believe that.
231.
That being said, to borrow your line, I still am going to bet that over.
Okay, that's fine. Josh, you have a opinion on the total?
You know, not in this specific game, but what you're saying, Ken, I do think we're going to see the totals go down a little bit. But look at the teams involved in those low-scoring games usually involve one bad offensive team, too. So you said, like, Orlando and the Nets starting to look like themselves, right? Orlando, both of them had the upsets.
There was a wall for the Nets. I thought the Nets might make a run.
Right, and when Orlando won the first one, I've never seen those guys shoot. I mean, they were just not going to lose that game. Yeah, they shot, like, 80% from the field. It was
from
ridiculous.
From the three.
Yes, they just swished every one of those nights. But, Ken, you see, like, the Jazz and the Nuggets today sort of look like what people thought was going to happen. Like, both teams are top five defensively, and you know the offense comes and goes. But their first two games were shootouts. The first one went to overtime.
Sure.
But
had 230. I actually looked that up today. There was at least they were both at 230 even with the before the overtime.
Right,
in.
Right. So, it was over anyway.
Yeah, and the total.
Yes,
and the total was 218 today.
Well, right.
And going into this game, every Nuggets game in the bubble has gone over except for today, and it missed it by I think 7 points.
Seven
and they
points.
They shot terribly.
Right.
You know how to buck a trend is let me get on it. I had the over in that game at 217. I looked at it and I just said the number's too light. I mean, the number should have been 224, you know? So that's my what I'm saying. I don't know. So with that being said, I guess we have the one late game. I did say that. We have the one late game tonight in basketball. If you guys still want to bet that, you know, fire up the William Hill mobile app. If you don't have it, download it at www.williamhill.us. Full service mobile sports betting app right at your fingertips. Hockey tonight, too. There's a game going on right now, Flyers and Canadiens. Flyers up 3-2. Philadelphia has a 3-2 series lead in this, so they're looking to close out the Canadiens, and they take a one-goal lead going into the third quarter. 6:45 tonight on NBC Sportsnet. We have the Blues and the Canucks. Vancouver leading this series 3-2. St. Louis is a short favorite right here. You can get the Blues at -135, or you can actually take the Canucks at plus money. Total in this game is 5.5. John? Have you not been following?
Go Nucks. Not really. You know, as a Sharks fan, it's been a little rough. Although, I did grow up an Islander fan before the Sharks existed, so I'm happy to see the Islanders advance against the Caps.
All right. Mr. Nagel.
No, I similarly have not seen a minute of playoff hockey, so I couldn't tell you.
And we already know that the Vegas Knights, they advance. Tommy, you got anything on this?
I'd probably lean towards the Blues just to make it a series and force that Game 7 tonight.
Game 1 of the West, second round of the West, speaking of the Sharks, John, is tomorrow, the Stars and the Avalanche. Colorado -165 with a goal total of 55. This Avalanche team, man.
They're so quick.
They're like pouring goals in.
Yeah, they're so fast and so talented. You could see it a couple years ago that the Avalanche were about to be a great team, and here they are. I wouldn't bet against them.
All right. lots of stuff to bet on. And then tomorrow we have basketball too. Then, if you guys, did you follow this Northern? Have you been following this Northern Trust Golf?
Yeah.
So Scottie Scheffler today shoots a 59.
Did he end up with? Did he end
59.
Up with it? Oh yes.
Think about it. He shoots a 59 and a 70. DJ shoots a 60 today.
Yeah, DJ had a 60.
I mean, and he so you shoot 59 in a round where you shoot 70 and you,
picking up one stroke.
No, he's two strokes behind.
But I mean, he just picked up one stroke.
Oh yeah, oh exactly. Yeah. So DJ in the lead right now at 15 under after he shot 12 under today. Scheffler,
I'm gonna try to shoot a 59 on the front nine tomorrow at Dane Valley.
Bingo! You gotta have a goal.
All right, 59. It is.
You know what? If
Dane Valley 11:51 tomorrow.
All right, so. If you're honest, I'll
be honest.
Okay, then I'll take no chance.
Okay,
On hold on.
On the front nine.
The front nine, you can get there.
Front
the back
nine, you,
nine you have no shot.
No shot of the back
the first, nine. The first four holes are pretty simple holes.
Right.
I played.
I got to stay out of the water on two. I've hit that water all the time.
I remember back.
You're either going to hit.
The first time I played Dayton, I went par, birdie, par. And I go, this course ain't tough.
Yeah. No, number two, John's either going to hit the water or a house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll hit, it's probably the water. It usually is the water, Dave.
Joshy golf?
Not well.
So, but you like to go out and hit it?
Occasionally, yes.
All right.
Yeah, no, I will let you know.
No, it sounds like John and I would be a competitive matchup. Well, but he's got, be the last pairing.
He's got a foursome that you can get in. You probably compete because they're all.
Well, that'd be a fivesome then.
Well, if one of the guys drops out, John.
Oh, yeah. No, we're good.
But
look at this guy. What a jerk, Josh.
No, I'm good too, so it doesn't matter.
So what are you going to shoot tomorrow, John? What is your goal and what's realistic?
My goal is always to break 100. Okay. And I've come close. I've been right there. So, at 59, it shouldn't be that big a deal. I'm not good, but I'm not absolutely inept anymore.
Alcohol induced?
God, I haven't had a beer in a long time.
You haven't had a beer in a long time?
I haven't.
Why?
So I will tomorrow. So that usually.
Are you going to die? Or
that usually, makes it. That usually makes it. No, I just haven't.
You're just drinking whiskey?
No, I'm not drinking anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not. It just has happened that way.
Well, that's.
Yeah.
That's not smart.
I know, but I'll make up for it tomorrow.
You're one of the best drinkers I know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Seriously.
Thing to put your hat on.
Huh?
What's the criteria for earning that distinction?
Just all you got to do is go sit down at a bar with it. Josh, you do a radio show with him. Yeah. He'll go through six shots in a six-pack.
Before
the first break.
You said he was the best drinker. So what does that mean necessarily? Highest volume, most variety?
He's fun to be around. He's not a mean drunk.
Gotcha.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to get a bottle of whiskey. We'll be back after this break on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, we're back at the ESPN Studios, 94.5 FM, talking all kinds of sports. Still five baseball games left to play today. Astros and Padres, McCullers versus Richards. He's a dog. You know, he's McCullers, 2-1, 5.47 ERA, going against Richards, 1-1 in San Diego at 3.45. So, John, what do you think about any of these games, you guys? Just pipe up as we go through them. John?
I usually like McCullers. He just has never really hit that. He's a big-time prospect, and, you know, his dad was a big league pitcher. He's never really hit that potential that he has. He's tantalizing. I always like betting him, and I always regret it. So I'm stay off of that.
You know, you have these ERAs. His is 5.47. Richards is 3.45. The total in this game is 8.5. With the shade to the over, -120. Josh.
Yeah, I just feel like honestly,
Don't you just take the Astros in general?
Right. I was gonna say pitching matchup notwithstanding, plus money on the Astros against the Padres. Despite I understand the current form, how good the Padres have looked so far.
Grand slam every night.
There's
four nights in a row.
There's
that's
just
crazy.
No way you could deny that the value, like you said, in that game. I'm jumping in the Astros no matter what.
Absolutely, I agree with that too. You're right. They've got four games in a row going for the fifth tonight, right? So they set a record.
Only team to do four consecutive nights with a grand slam.
Yeah, they have four consecutive nights where you hit a grand slam. And, you know, this Tatis kid, I love this kid. I mean, and him still in third and hitting 3-0. What was the game yesterday where a team was up 7-0?
Phillies.
Yeah, okay, so the Phillies pull the brakes back. I mean, you don't quit unless the other team's going to quit.
That's right.
And I used to be an old school baseball kind of guy, but in today's game and the way it is, play to the last out. These are pro athletes. If you're going to – don't cry.
No, I agree.
Don't cry.
Here's the thing, too. Like, okay, so unwritten rule. So what's he supposed to do? Say if there's just a Cardinal send to swing 3-0. So is he obligated to take two of them in a row?
Yeah.
Can he swing 3-1? Is that more?
Yeah. Johnny Bench had a great tweet. You know, you don't get more old school than Johnny Bench. He goes, Grady, he takes a 3-0, comes 3-1, gets him – takes another pitch, gets himself in a bad spot, hits a double play, they come back and win. So
yeah, I saw that.
Is he a hero then?
And I'm just thankful that most of, at least the former players and everybody, had his back, because it was stupid. It was his own manager who was said he did wrong.
Yeah. So, I don't. That's the biggest problem I had with it, with his manager not having his back.
Yeah, he was like the only one who didn't support
him. I most of the unwritten rule stuff, I don't agree with. Stealing bags in situations like that, I can see getting upset about that, but that type of stuff, man, you don't want to stifle one of the greatest young talents in this game. We're trying to attract young people to this game, right?
Yeah.
With it's
so he's supposed to take the first pitch?
No, just get up there and play the game.
And what about how the other three runners before him get on base? Did they take walks? Are they supposed to be swinging at balls that aren't close? Get mad at them.
And Ken, I know they know the answer to this because we talked while you were gone, but since 2018, do you know how many times? Wrong.
No, I just randomly.
How many times there's been 8-plus runs scored in the 8th and 9th inning of a game since 2018?
Oh, yeah, like 37.
60.
Oh, I was halfway there.
Yeah.
But Tommy, is that by one team or combined?
No, combined all teams. But still, their issue was late. You're already up 8. Don't swing 3-0.
Right, but I'd just be curious how many teams have blown 7-0 or worse leads in the last 10 years. But it does happen. It happens a few times.
Give the Giants a shot.
Not only that, guys. Let's not forget this fact. It's a 60-game season. I mean,
exactly.
It's not good. You're playing a third of the
game. There isn't one thing wrong with what Fernando Tatis Jr. did.
Yeah,
not a thing.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. This game is worth, what, 2.5 times?
2.7
times what it's worth. So, listen, you got to win every game.
This dude is probably the leader for the MVP right now. You want him to, with him and Mookie Betts, you know, you want him to not take the opportunity to hit a grand slam? Don't go 3-0, dude.
There you go.
Make better pitches.
Don't be a nibbler, you know.
Make better pitches.
He's getting paid to play the game, right?
Well, then
get him out.
Right.
I'm getting paid to hit the ball, not make outs.
Right.
Ass clowns. Rangers, Mariners. I can say that, can't I?
Yeah.
Spencer, that's a good word. That's a good word. I'm fired up.
That's what Chris Jericho would say.
Yeah. Oh, I love some Y2.
Oh.
Rangers, Mariners. Who we got? We got Allard versus some other kid. I can't even say his name. Morgan Vicious. Rangers on the at -119, total 8.5, over -115. Nothing for me in this spot. I don't know. Mariners 8-19, Rangers 10-14. This is probably a pass. These teams are just trying to get through the season.
Yeah, exactly. Mariners are forever the Mariners.
Yep. No matter how good they start.
Stay away from that game.
Good three games. Good three games on the West Coast late. Dodgers Rockies. Dodgers laying 245 with Buehler versus Gray, with a total in this game 9.5. The under's -125 at the 9.5.
I take a shot at the Rockies.
Why not? I mean, they can hit. Like you said, John.
Absolutely hit. John Gray can pitch.
And the backman for the Rockies. How's he playing this year?
He's still up there in the high 400s.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that's that's the team. If someone forever chasing the Dodgers, Rockies are right there. You take a shot with it. And, you know, obviously it's Walker Buehler and it's the Dodgers, but that's worth it.
And his ERA is up over 5 this year, which is kind of surprising.
So that'll come back down.
Walker Buehler's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, both ERAs are in the 5. So, you know, you look at this game. I'd probably be looking maybe bet this game under the 9.5 and take the -125.
Yeah,
just hope one of the pitchers shows up.
I like that.
A's and Angels. Josh, you have anything on that game?
No, but the one you're about to, I do.
I'm just going to A's Angels. It looks like Athletics, a small home favorite, -105 in that area. Actually, I take that back. The Angels just moved to a road favorite at -110. A's are even. Totals 9.5 with the over -120, Josh.
And I say, yeah, that's a Athletics play right there. And granted, the Angels played, you know, hit them pretty well when the series was in L.A. last week. But I think the way they're playing right now, for some reason – I don't know why. I mean, I've never been a Flyers guy. He keeps proving me wrong. This is a guy of like 2 no-hitters in the last 4 years or something. Did he throw a perfect game, John?
He threw a no-hitter. I almost got multiple. Perfect game. He's got two no-hitters.
Right.
Plus, he hit Giancarlo Stanton in the face.
Right. And so, anyhow, but he's the type of guy, too. I know from doing his stats previously, for some reason, his splits, he's always better at night. So, Flyers against just about anybody. I mean, the even money with the nighttime start in Oakland, that's a good deal. Yeah, even money.
From what I've seen from the Angels this week, watching against the Giants, that team's not good. their pitching is awful. The A's are just a far better team. There's a lot of value with the A's here.
All right. And the A's still, you know, the A's are still in the hunt right now. They're actually leading the West, aren't they? Yeah, they have a 2.5-game lead over the Astros in the West. So.
And why would Andrew Haney be the chalk against Flyers? Do they think the Angels roster or lineup's that much better?
No, I'm with
you. It's not. I think they have the best player in the world, but other than that.
You're looking at two dogs.
That Fletcher dude can hit.
Giants at home versus the Diamondbacks, John. Webb versus Ray. Giants a home dog, small home dog at a nickel.
I'll tell you what, Giants are really hitting the ball. That lineup is pretty strong, especially against lefties. They've been wearing out lefties this year. Robbie Ray's always been tough on the Giants, but this is a completely different Giants team. Logan Webb can pitch. I like the Giants here, and I don't say that too often. I like where their lineup is. If Logan Webb can go deep and avoid that atrocious bullpen, I think that they have something there.
Well, John, funny you said that because I don't have the exact stats right in front of me or whatever, but the point was going to be with Robbie Ray. That's the thing, I believe. Like, for some reason, he's got, like, monster numbers against the Giants.
He really does.
For, like, the last 4 years, they, like, never touch him. So in that regard, I'm surprised he's almost not a bigger chalk.
Yeah. It's just that lineup is just chock full of right, not only right-handed hitters, but right-handed contact hitters. They put the barrel on the ball. Donnie Barrels, the rest of these guys. That's and Yastrzemski has no problem with lefties either. I like the Giants. I like the way that they're heading. Joey Bart is up. Giants fans are very excited about Joey Bart. He had an absolute blister. Got called up yesterday, and so I'm sure he'll be in there again tonight against the lefty.
What did he go last night? You know?
He had one hit. He had a ringing double down the left field line. 1-for-3. His first AB. He got hit in the foot. So he'll still settle in and. It feels like when Buster got called up. It really had that kind of impact on the Giants fan base. And he's the first of many dominoes to fall here in the next year or so.
Yes.
All right. What do you guys think about, looking at these Major League Baseball standings, the Yankees, I mean, not the they
who aren't playing this weekend.
Huh?
So the Yankees and Mets aren't playing this weekend.
Yeah, but I mean, they're actually outside of first place in the American League East now.
The Braves, baby.
Which is crazy. All these injuries.
Let's go Braves.
I mean, they are just injury plagued right now.
They really
now.
Are.
I mean, they're 16-9. The same record, the Indians are making a move late. They're 16-9. They're right there. I guess, they're in the wild card spot, but man, all these people that just had the Yankees and the Dodgers penciled in for the World Series, I'd have a little bit of concern about the Yankees right now.
Yeah, I absolutely have concern about the Yankees. I don't think they pitch well either. And when you couple that with all these injuries, it's LeMahieu, Stanton, and Judge. That's pretty important. Three people right there that are not playing.
Absolutely. They're, like I said, they're leading the National or the American League East, half a game up over the Yankees. And then in the Central, the Twins and the Indians battling. I kind of thought that. John, you kind of liked the White Sox a little bit earlier in the year, did you not?
Yeah, they have so much young talent, and they're fun to watch, man. I love watching White Sox games.
We're 26 games in right now, and they're 2 back, 15-11. Josh, you have any opinion on the White Sox, the Twins, or the Indians?
No, although at some point I want to take stock of, they probably have the in-season, changing odds, right, to win the division and World Series. And I want to start taking a look at those.
Yeah.
All right. And in the National League, American League West, I'll pull up the futures right now. I actually have my William Hill mobile app fired up. You want to win the World Series or the pennant, Josh?
No, I see it now. I've got the app going.
I mean, the Yankees are still plus 130 right. to win the AL pennant. I don't want any. I want so no part of that.
No. Don't you think the Rays at 7-1 is a pretty good deal right
absolutely
there?
Absolutely.
Sure, why
is.
Not?
They're on fire.
I mean, who do we have below that there might be value on? Twins, 425. A's, 550. Rays, 7.
A's, Astros, White Sox.
Astros, 11-1.
Yeah.
Indians, 11-1.
There's a lot of value in the American League there.
Absolutely.
Everybody but the Red Sox.
Everybody but, what's the Red Sox? Who is? You can get the Royals at 150-1. They're only 6.5 back.
I'm good.
Red Sox 100-1, John, like you were saying.
Yeah.
8-18. Man, that team's not good.
Yeah. I'm all right with it.
You're all right with it? All right. Let's look at the National League real quick. Let me scroll down here and get to the National League. Braves, game and a half lead over the Marlins, now 14-11 in the NL East. I think they're going to end up winning that division.
Wait, I would think so, yeah. I mean, that's a good division top to bottom.
I mean, besides the Phillies, I think the Braves definitely have the best roster constructed. So, thanks to COVID.
If Syndergaard was there, I could make a case for the Mets.
Yeah. But it's funny how COVID is going to make the Marlins, who are five games in the win column back, be the number two team in there. So the Cardinals got a chance too in the Central.
No kidding.
All right, Cubs Central, 4-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals, 16-8. John.
Yeah, this is their last ride, maybe according to
the Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly. So I like the Cubs. I think the Cubs are a contender to win this whole thing. They get the bullpen correct. And Kimbrel's looked well as of late.
It seems like they're sneaking up on teams right now.
Which is crazy because they are the Cubs.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Josh?
Yeah, it is funny how it seems like, the Cubs are considered like this breakout team when they still have one of the most talented rosters. But I would agree in the sense that in this shortened season,
don't you think
it sort of favors the more talented roster where it's like over a short time, there's going to be a little bit less variance, right? So to me, it makes sense. Like the Cubs don't, right? They have less time to choke. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Like there's less opportunity and just a sort of a real shortened time sample. I would think the better teams, I mean, just personnel wise would be there. But
all right. Let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the National League West and hear what John has to say about the San Francisco Giants on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back. Last segment here. Make sure you like the show on Facebook, our Facebook page at Kennedy ESPN Sports Handicapping. We'll be posting our UFC stuff tomorrow. And you never know. You know, we get late information, and it gets up there all the time. And John does a really good job at keeping posting stories and news alerts and things like that, John. So you do a good job at that.
Hey, thanks.
National League West, real quick, Dodgers, 7-04 baseball, 19-8 we were talking about. They still play a little bit later tonight. They're, what did I say they were?
So good.
Laying like $3.
Minus 240, I think, right? Walker Buehler against John Gray.
And you have the Padres right there at 15-12, minus 4. Who's going to – so, real quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams or make the – or 5, 10 teams?
The top two teams in each division are automatic.
Top two teams in each division.
Yeah.
That's 6.
That's 6, and there's 2 wild cards.
8. Okay, so yeah, so that was right. So wow, so you are playing for something here. Good.
Yeah, that's it's been fun. It really has. As weird as it's been, it's baseball. When it comes down to it, it's still baseball, and there's stakes on every game now. Even you know the Giants are 11-16 or whatever they are. They're still 4 games out of second place. So it's not like they're not playing for anything. And with a better bullpen last week, that record might be turned around. Yeah, so
it's true.
Who knows? Just been fun to watch. I'm still haven't warmed up to Gabe Kapler quite yet, but I'll tell you what, this lineup, Tommy, you're a Giants fan. This lineup looks pretty good.
We were talking about that while you were away of just they're scrappy and they're aggressive, which I mean, I don't know if that's because of Kapler. I always hope that Mullins would have had some of the players be a little more aggressive, but I like it. I mean, you're never really out of it. And like you said, if that bullpen would have held up against that series against the A's, you know, we're right there in the thick of things.
Yeah.
Have you guys looked at any of the numbers? Do you like the 7-inning games?
You know.
I know, me too. It takes away the purity of the game.
As a fan of a team with a horrible bullpen, yes. I wish they were all 7-inning games.
All right, well, that's baseball still. What do you say? Oh, wait, actually, some of them may have already pitched, but there's still a couple of games, 3 late West Coast games still up.
I'm taking a stab at the Rockies tonight.
All right, take a stab at the Rockies. That's the plus money. Josh, they have the official Nick Bogdanovich put up the official Week 1 NFL line?
Yeah, it looks like we got a full slate, Ken. I know we had the Texans Chiefs Thursday nighter. That one been out for a while, but the full Week 1 slate, I think it looks current, like I believe it just happened. So
where's the Week 1 game at? Is it in Houston?
No, that would be Kansas City. So it's Super Bowl champion doing their like hometown celebration thing, and so it's Chiefs on Thursday night -10 against the Texans.
Oh my goodness! goodness.
A total of 55. Oh, now, to me, I just think the Super Bowl hangover thing is real. And
well, I think 10's too many.
Totally. As I say, keep in mind, the Texans are the ones who choked 24-0.
And beat them there earlier in the year.
Yeah, and beat them early in the season as a road underdog. So, yeah, all that stuff added together, of course. I can't – the Chiefs now are just – they're the ones – they're having that extra tax on them like the Patriots
and
did all those years.
A new running back because the running back's holding out.
Right, the one guy opted out, so they get the kid from LSU.
Yeah.
And then the Texans don't, DeAndre Hopkins is gone. But, I think that they've kind of evaluated their wide receiver core, and I think that, they must think that somebody's there to fill his shoes.
Totally.
So
I
think that if you listeners, I think that if you like Houston, I would wait a little bit more because I think the public money will come in on the Chiefs at the minus 10. You can probably get that up to 11, which 11 is a key number.
Totally. Right. The thing with Hopkins is so sad because now there's speculation of some locker room deal, dealing along with O'Brien, whatever, and that was what forced the trade. So obviously he's not in the team anymore. There must have been something there, but that's just sad because when you look at guys like Hopkins or Julio Jones. I mean, that's just next level receiver, or Michael Thomas on the Saints is the same way, where it's like as much as a receiver can literally change the game, those guys are just like open every play. Like, I don't know what you do with Deshaun Watson. Like, that's your right hand guy.
Yeah.
And him gone, like you said, even if they're decent, that loss has to hurt.
No question about it.
I mean, who else is really did they draft other receivers? I don't know. Did they get
did. I can't off the top of my head think about who, but right. Yeah. You can't replace that guy.
Is it Stills? Like, for instance, he might
unless
pick
got
up the
Antonio
slack.
Brown or something.
They have a pretty decent core.
I could tell you, I should know this because of fantasy football, but he's an underneath guy. Stills is like number four on the depth
right.
chart.
Yeah, they had another. I forget.
Anyways, go ahead, Josh. It'll
I was just going to say, what remains to be seen, and how does DeAndre Hopkins look with Kyler Murray? I mean,
that's the other thing. I mean, if you're a fantasy football player, don't just if you're looking at stealing DeAndre in the first round, I'd be a little bit careful about that for that reason right there, Josh. You're exactly right.
But one of those things, though, Ken, don't you think his volume, because it seemed like they sort of went for the home run play with Deshaun Watson. And Murray was in sort of that run and shoot, Big 12 system. Don't like the Saints use Michael Thomas. Do you not think they might go for Hopkins for a lot of just quick hitter, sure handed thing? Where Larry Fitzgerald's moving on, and don't you think he could be that possession guy?
He could.
I just mean the fantasy sense. You expect his production to decrease?
I do.
Okay.
I do. A little bit. I do. No, that's what I'm saying is I do. I do expect it to decrease just a little bit. Yes. DeAndre Cobb. Brandon Cooks. They got Kiki Couture, Isaiah Coulter, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, and DeAndre Carter. Those are the wide receivers. And Will Fuller. That's who I was trying to think of. Will Fuller. They have wide receivers in camp. And Kenny Stills is there too. So, I mean, they have a lot of good number two receivers, And you still have Brandon Cooks. He hasn't been the same, I don't think, since he left New Orleans.
Let's go down these lines a little bit.
Huh?
Can we go down these lines a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sure.
Sorry,
I mean, we could talk Texans receivers all day long, I guess. But
it's all cool. But all right, so next one. How about, week one? So, obviously, it's knocking on the door, by the way. So this is September 13th, so it's not like, we're closing in on this stuff. So Sunday, week one NFL game right here, Bills home, -6 against the Jets. So AFC East matchup, -6 Bills, over under a 40.
I hear Darnold's playing really well.
Jets.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell is in peak physical condition, apparently, too.
Who was that?
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I think in this game, in week one, I'd be looking to take points.
Yeah.
Right. I would, too. Yeah. Another AFC East game. So, Patriots, your first Tom Brady-less era game against the Miami Dolphins. So, another AFC East rivalry. You got Patriots still with likely Cam Newton behind center. -6.5 Dolphins. Against those Dolphins.
Miami.
A 43.5.
Money line.
Yeah. Ken, what do you think? One thing I've heard is real popular.
How many Patriots players have opted out?
Right. Yeah. And I want to say this. They have
defense.
For the divisional odds or whatever, I heard the Patriots, or I should say the Dolphins to win the AFC East is like a very popular bet. I've heard it 7-1.
I don't have any interest in laying short money with the Patriots.
No, me either. But, okay, so next one. We're going to go with the Ravens on opening day. They're at home against the Cleveland Browns, another divisional rivalry. We're going to kick that off. Ravens, Lamar Jackson, reigning MVP, -9, 40.5.
Browns.
Yeah, Browns play the Ravens well. They can.
Yeah. And the Browns under.
Out of them last year there.
They beat
the Browns
last
underachieved
year,
last year, and the Ravens overachieved
totally
last year.
Totally.
So I think you're going to get an adjustment. Especially if he gets to 10.
Totally. Okay. So pretty
and
good.
And don't forget, Nick Chubb would have led the NFL in rushing last year if Derrick Henry doesn't go off in the final day.
So Falcons here's a good one. Good NFC matchup. Falcons at home, actually, plus one against those Seattle Seahawks. You know, these two go back. They've been in the playoffs a few times, especially, you know, Seattle's, you know, heyday a few years back. The questions about the Falcons, they still held on to the coach despite some pretty mediocre years. And it seems like both are, you know, keeping the coach and Matt Ryan at quarterback. But so Falcons, so Seahawks minus one with a total of 49 in Atlanta. Honestly, I think I'd have Atlanta in that one.
Seahawks.
And I under the circumstances.
What's the number?
1-49.
Just Seattle at home to win?
Seattle on the road.
On the road. Oh, goodness. Ugh.
Seahawks.
Yeah. I don't know. That's probably a pass.
Seahawks go to the Super Bowl.
I'd like to see the way the number moves. So pass right for me.
So, okay, Washington football team at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, Eagles minus six with a total of 45.
Eagles.
All right. Yeah. Bears and Lions. Does anyone jump in if they want on the other one?
Well, what is it? Oh, yeah, I just...
Nothing on the other one? Yeah. Okay. Bears and Lions. Lions at home, minus 1.5.
Like it.
Total of 44.
Lions. Love it.
Oh, I was about to say...
Who's pitching for the Bears? Trubisky?
Nick Foles, probably.
Nick Foles, Trubisky? Quarterback controversy? I don't know. It'd probably be Lions at home or a pass.
All right. So the... I was going to say Oakland Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders' first game is actually at Carolina, who is, of course, without Cam Newton now. They drafted a quarterback. They're sort of doing the rebuilding thing, with the exception of McCaffrey, who they signed, I think, wisely to a good deal. But so Panthers, it's a toss-up, basically. Actually, Raiders, Ken, one-point road favorite.
I like the Raiders this year.
Carolina Panthers plus one and a total of 47.
47? I'd probably play it under.
I'd probably take the Raiders on the road in this one.
You know, the Raiders aren't looking to separate on the road.
I mean, and it's Matt Rule's NFL debut. Yeah. Not that he can't coach, but I just mean there's experience difference.
I'd be looking to play under 47 in that game.
Okay, so here's a good NFC matchup as well. Vikings home on day one here against the Packers. We got Vikings minus 3.5, total of 46.5.
Man, giving the Packers 3.5 and Aaron Rodgers, even though he's been playing so bad. You know, they didn't address the wide receiver situation in Green Bay, but still game one, Cousins pitching for one team, Aaron Rodgers pitching for the other team.
Vikings.
I think it's Vikings, though.
Okay, one more of note, and then we'll sign off for the night. But Tom Brady's first game as a Buck at the Saints. Everyone's going to enjoy that one. Saints at home, minus 4, 49.5.
Over.
Saints minus 4, The Saints defense Tampa Bay's defense has gotten better, and who knows what you're going to get with Tom Brady, but man, there's a lot of weapons in that game.
Yeah, over.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Give us another one. We got about 40 seconds. You don't have any more?
No, I just, All right. I just feel like we're going to get cut off
Cardinals
if we try.
Cardinals at the Niners. Happening. Niners are a home favorite, 7.5, over under 46.
7.5. I hate that half. It's a pass.
Cardinals
play them very tough. Yeah. So if I bet it right now, I'd take the Cardinals with the plus 7.5.
All right, what else? Real quick.
Your Cowboys against the Rams. Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite, over under 50.5.
Cowboys. All right, we have to head off to commercial. See you next week. Same time, same place on ESPN 94.5 FM.